Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.
Hi, I'm Simon Rose, and I was away last week, so we're probably going to have a bumper session today, because there are twice as many gadgets and gizmos to talk about, I'd imagine.
Bumper to bumper, we'll have to cram them all in, won't we?
Bumper to bumper with people stuck on them, as regular listeners will know, yes.
Well, talking of bumpers and people stuck on them, the first self-driving bus was tried out in the UK this week. On the Forth Bridge, with 22 volunteers, and the bus drove itself across the Forth Bridge without hitting anything or falling into the River Forth, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah, that's why it's called the Forth Bridge. It's
exactly.
That way.
Exactly.
Yes, yes, I have to say, if I were asked to volunteer, I'd rather volunteer bus, you know, driving around a car park or something than actually going over a river, but... Yes, people indeed. Are braver up in Scotland than down.
Well, if I were going
over
the Forth Bridge in a self-driving bus, I might be tempted to ask what happened to the first three. Anyway, another first, the first 19-seater hydrogen-powered flight in the world took place last week over the Cotswolds, which is quite surprising. It's a company called Zero Avia, and because they weren't entirely sure that it would make it over the Cotswolds, and indeed back, they had a hydrogen-powered electric engine on one wing and a jet-fuel turboprop engine on the other wing. I don't think they used the turboprop
engine. I was going to say, because otherwise you don't really know what did what, but I'm sure they're cleverer than that.
But that's good news, I think, isn't it, that we've got hydrogen-powered planes up there?
No, I did see Michael O'Leary, the head of Ryanair, saying there's nowhere commercial airlines will ever be able to use hydrogen, just too unstable, just the other day. But who knows?
Well, we have talked on this very programme about ways of making hydrogen storage more stable and more compact.
I'm sure it will happen
eventually.
Yes, let's not use the word compact, not to do with Ryanair. This is, after all, the airline that apparently once exploited while they get their passengers journey standing up. To cram more of them in.
it may have been
a joke, but it was near enough the possibility to be rather scary. Okay, so let's move on from there.
On now to Apple. Apple have had a bit of a fall in their share price, and their shareholders have got very antsy about this, have demanded that Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, halve his salary for this year. 50% cut in his salary. Which is a lot. So it means that this year he will earn a mere $49 million.
How is he going to get by?
How's he going to get by? I've done my calculation on this. Assuming he works, say, a 10-hour day for 5 days a week and maybe takes a couple of weeks off for a holiday, that means his earnings come out at $20,000 an hour.
So a bit more than you and
toilet
I, then.
Break,
yes, the most expensive toilet break in the world. He probably gets share options as well.
Those
won't be looking quite as good after the fall from grace. But of course, as Isaac Newton proved, apples do occasionally fall to the ground.
They absolutely do, indeed. Anyway, talking of Apple, if you have self-published a book through Apple Books, then you can now apply to have automatic narration generated for your book. Not good news of people like you who specialize in doing voiceovers, but good news of people like me, I suppose, who haven't got to pay people like you to do their voiceovers.
Yes, this is getting a bit alarming. I wasn't even aware Apple did books, to be perfectly honest, but I believe
they do. That's why if you're using the Amazon app on your phone, you can't buy books through the app. Because it's in conflict with Apple selling its own books.
I guess I'd never actually tried that.
They'll let you buy, I think, physical books, but not digital downloads. What you have to do is to go on Safari on your phone to the Amazon website, and then you can buy it. But you can't buy it through the app. It's slightly ridiculous.
Bizarre. But then, I'm still with paper books, by and large.
You are. Paper books. They're starting off with fiction and romance as the only two categories they'll accept. Shall we have a little listen to a couple of samples?
Yes. Isn't romance usually in the fiction section? But yes, let's listen.
Movement in the greenhouse drew his eye, and a woman emerged. At first, he wasn't sure. The woman was about the right age, but there was something different about her, about the way she carried herself.
I suspect there are a lot of voiceovers artists around the world a bit worried now. Well, that was actually AI. It was pretty impressive.
AI, yes.
That Gosh, was, I think how was basic a, that was a few years ago.
That was a romance book. Let's have a listen to a fiction sample.
I looked up to find a wall of trees had materialized ahead of us. I hadn't noticed, because I'd been staring at my feet. I couldn't believe the fields actually had an end. It was further away than I would have liked, but at least I now had something tangible to run toward.
You could just about tell. There are little you hints could, that it's, yeah, but it's quite tricky. You think how primitive this was a few years ago when we first had text-to-speech software.
Well, wow. Talking of text-to-speech software, some rather scary news from Microsoft, who have produced an AI module called VAL-E. That's V-A-L-L hyphen E.
Yes.
And then probably uncanny VAL-E, I suppose, is maybe where it comes from, which can listen to any voice for just 3 seconds and then mimic it.
Good grief. So hang on. So first of all, you're doing all the voiceover artists out of work. Now you're doing all the impressionists out of work. Last week, we got that what's it, GPT thing that quite clearly is going to get rid of all the writers.
I know, it's worrying. Anyone who sits in front of a computer is likely to have their job sucked up by that very computer.
Wow, this is getting a bit nerve-wracking. Yes.
So there are very dangerous consequences for this. It means you could, record 3 seconds of a chief executive giving a speech and then phone his office and say, transfer £100,000 into my private Swiss account.
But didn't that actually happen about a year?
It did actually happen, yes. But that was someone claiming to be the CEO, but this could actually sound exactly like him. Someone whose voice you recognise phones you up. Rather worrying. Anyway, they trained this AI module on 60,000 hours of English speech, which they took mainly from audiobooks. So I wonder if they're taking them from Apple audiobooks. It could all go round in circles, couldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, this is quite worrying. The only thing I can think to do is to have one of these. So, anything jollier for the people who are sitting in front of computers wondering how much longer they've got a job?
Well, slightly jollier if for people who don't want their faces recognised by facial recognition cameras, of which there are more and more of them all around the world, really, but in airports and places like that. Mm. You can, of course, wear a mask, which helps to baffle them. But an Italian knitwear company called Capable have produced jumpers with patterns on it that are designed specifically to baffle facial recognition cameras.
Good grief.
By not allowing the person wearing them to look like a person.
So, I mean, my instinct would be that this looks like one of those awful sort of Christmas jumpers that come out once a year.
Have you actually seen what it looks like?
Oh,
yes,
right.
They are absolutely hideous, desperately hideous. But in their own tests, when they put it in front of facial recognition cameras, the cameras could identify people in the scene, but people wearing the jumpers, they guessed were probably giraffes.
Wow.
Yeah.
However, of course, if you are monitoring CCTV and you're looking for somebody who's trying to avoid the camera, and suddenly you see a giraffe in the middle of lots of people, that might be a clue.
It might be a clue.
Bit of a giveaway.
Anyway, they're starting to sell them from €420, which is quite a lot for a very, very ugly jumper.
It does seem quite expensive.
It does.
You've got to really, really not want to be seen by CCTV.
Absolutely. Anyway, very scary. Moving on, we're getting scary again. I'm sorry about this. American parents are perhaps justifiably rather paranoid about their kids going to school because who knows what's going to happen when they get to the school.
Yes.
6-year-olds with automatic weapons, for example. Yes. But they are also worried about the journey to school. And so they tend to drive these big, heavy SUVs, child killers, as they're often called, because any child hit by an SUV is unlikely to survive it. Mm-hmm. And the latest one on the block is the Resvani Vengeance, which is an SUV that looks like a tank. It is absolutely hideous, even more hideous than the jumper. So I was going to tell you about it, but I thought I would get the TikTok celebrity Mobile Mama to tell us a bit about it herself. Here we go.
You have explosive underbody shielding, bulletproof glass, electrified door handles.
So there we go. Bulletproof glass, underbody shielding from explosives, and electrified door handles. If anyone tries to get into the car, they can zap a million volts through them, which is quite scary. Let's see what else is in store for this car.
Military-grade run flat tires and a Ram steel bumper. If anyone's following you, you have blinding lights in the front and the back, or a smoke screen.
I'm beginning to find her voice rather more irritating than an artificial one.
It is very irritating. So, run flat tires, fair enough. A Ram steel bumper on the front. So if the school gates are closed when you get there, you could just drive straight through them.
Mm.
Blinding strobe lights. So if anyone's following you, you can just dazzle them with strobing lights that'll put them off. And a smoke screen. You can get a smoke screen built into it as well. Extraordinary. But that's not all. Let's hear some more.
Oh, good grief.
Plus my favourite, pepper spray.
Yes.
The pepper spray is built into the wing mirrors. So if anyone's trying to get into your car, you can spray them. Or indeed, if you're
sounds dangerous. Mum's checking their makeup.
Exactly.
Before they emerge from the car.
If you get too close to a cyclist, blast them with some pepper spray. There's no rear windscreen on this car, of course, because that was a security threat. Mm-hmm. Instead, you have video built into your rear view camera, which feeds to a camera on the back.
Ooh, like Captain Scarlet.
Like Captain Scarlet, exactly. And, well, what's the best thing about it? Let's let Mobile Mama tell us.
Your kids will love that it was styled by a video game designer.
There you go. Don't you just want a car that's been styled by a video game designer?
Yes, yes. And, I can't help feeling that if a jumper that is designed to baffle CCTV costs €420, this is going to be even more expensive.
It is a bit more expensive. It is $500,000. That is with all the extras. I mean, you can get a stripped-down version for just $285,000, but frankly, would you risk your child's life just for the sake of, you know, a couple of $100,000? Anyway, it is a really terrifying idea that there will be American mums driving on the school run in these things.
Let's take a break as we digest that.
Yes.
Sharing ideas about money. This is Share Radio.
This is Simon Rose. I'm in conversation with Steve Kaplan. We are talking about gadgets and gizmos, and rather alarming ones too.
Well, let's get less alarming, shall we?
Yeah, we'd like to. Yes, please.
We've talked a couple of times on this show about electric chopsticks and electric forks. These are things that give you a very slight tingle on your tongue. Mm-hmm. The idea being that they work as flavor enhancers. So you can get a zap of flavor without adding sugar or salt or perhaps monosodium glutamate to your food. Mm-hmm. And they've all been theoretical so far. Until now, they are actually being made. And they are being made by a company called Spoontech with a K on the end. Mm-hmm. They're selling them in three colors, black, gray, and beige. I don't think they called it beige anymore. Beige is one of those colours that went through, you know, so many names, from beige to magnolia to taupe to, you know, white with a hint of dark brown. Anyway, they're $29.
Stay still long enough, it'll come round into fashion again.
$29 from spoontech.com. They do say that if you have either a pacemaker or lip or tongue piercings, you might want to give these a miss.
Right.
I mean, you might want to give it a miss anyway. But for $29, it's probably worth finding out.
What is it? What is this one designed to actually do?
It gives you a slight tingle on your tongue that stimulates your taste buds, so it makes food tastier than it really is.
Oh, so bad cooks the world over should be
bad cooks the world over. Exactly. Well, that means you can cut down on your salt intake or your sugar intake.
But most people don't eat their food except for dessert and soup with a spoon.
No, there is that, isn't there?
I wonder if they've considered that.
Well, the spoon, if you had it a fork, then you don't actually taste the fork in your mouth. You don't put the food in, but your spoon is the only thing where you put the whole thing in your mouth, isn't it?
So you have to adjust your whole manner of eating. Or maybe it's for little tots that won't eat their food otherwise.
Maybe it is, yes. But salt manufacturers will be panicking at the news, no doubt.
Yes,
when I was
yes.
in America, I saw some salt on display, and one of the varieties you can get is kosher salt. I couldn't understand.
Kosher salt, but I guess
what
I don't
does it
know
mean?
I have no idea. It's blessed by somebody.
Oh, really? Do you need to have your salt blessed by somebody?
Presumably, some people.
Well, each grain.
Yes, it takes a long time. That's why it's so expensive.
Exactly.
Each grain is blessed separately. Okay, let's move on.
Let's move on to pot plants. Now, pot plants, as we know, are good things to have around because they generate more oxygen in your working or living atmosphere.
Yeah.
But nothing is as good as the Neo-P1.
Pot plant? Okay.
It's a pot plant, yes. It's a genetically engineered pot plant, which should raise a few alarm bells. It captures the four most toxic volatile organic compounds, which, as I'm sure you know, are formaldehyde, benzene, toluene, and xylene.
Do most of us have those in our home?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so, but if you're the kind of paranoid person who drives a Resvani Vengeance wears capable facial recognition defeating jumpers, you'll probably want one of these. They purify 30 times them as much as regular plants. You have to water them, you have to feed them power drops once a month. And being genetically engineered, I don't know what happened. It might be a bit like gremlins, where if you don't feed them their power drops, then they start getting
Or Little
angry.
Shop of Horrors, where the plant takes over and starts eating people. Yes.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Anyway, they
power drops, presumably only available from people who sold you the plant in the first place.
Exactly. $179, which is quite a lot for a plant. Neoplant.com, you can join their waiting list if you really want one. I suspect you probably don't. Let us go on to something a little bit more palatable. Well, it's a little idiotic, really. It's our crowdfunding time of the week. Fingers on the button.
Here we go.
And this is the world's first 3D printed razor. It's made by a chap called Ibrahim Mukherjee, who lives in London, and it takes standard razor blades. And as he claims, one blade razors are much better for your skin compared to four or five blade razors.
But they probably don't cut as much.
£15 for this 3D printed razor. The only really new thing about it is it's 3D printed. And since you can buy blade razors for rather less than £15, it's not surprising that it's only reached 3% of his £5,000 goal.
Very strange. Okay.
But that's the good thing about crowdfunding. You can try things out, and if no one wants it, we're going to try something else.
Yes.
At least it doesn't get into mass development.
No, I guess that is true. So, where do we go now?
Well, we go to Ferrari, who are developing an electric car. And one of the things that Ferrari drivers like most, apart from saying, hey, look at me, I'm a Ferrari driver.
yes,
is the noise that their car makes. So they've been trying to work out how they can make electric Ferraris sound as good as real Ferraris. And they thought, well, they could just record them. But each car has its own voice, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they are reproducing the roar of a petrol engine by amplifying the motor and the drivetrain and then adjusting the pitch and the volume so that it sounds like a petrol Ferrari.
And they claim each individual Ferrari has its own voice.
Gracious. Yes.
I actually approve of electric cars that make noise. I'm finding them really creepy. The number of times you only notice one when it's right on you, I find it rather odd that manufacturers have not been asked to at least make some noise already.
As a cyclist, it is quite scary, isn't it? Yeah. When one creeps up behind you, they don't know it's there.
Yes, I agree.
Hmm.
Gosh, we're agreeing. Anyway. What on earth is going on?
What on earth is going on? Well, here's some good news. Should we have a bit of good news?
Why not? I'd like some after all this.
Lightning strikes. Lightning strikes are particularly bad around things like airports.
Mm.
And lightning deterrent technology hasn't really changed since Benjamin Franklin invented the lightning rod back in the 18th century. Until now, the École Polytechnique in France has found a way of diverting lightning by firing pulses of green lasers up into the sky. And they say they finally managed to do it. So they installed these things around airports, so they could be altogether a very good thing.
But do they? Somebody got to be pressing a button when they see a lightning strike for it to work, or how does it work?
Well, when people see a lightning strike, you don't have very long to press the button.
Well, exactly. No. So what's happening?
I think when they suspect they're going to be lightning strikes, and these green lasers just fire up into the sky. Although, if you happen to be flying a plane overhead, and
well, I was about to say, yes, lasers being pointed at planes is a big problem.
It is. Well, I'm not sure they've entirely thought this through.
I imagine they can get around it. No, we haven't had many of these, so let's have another one.
Down to earth, or rather down to the seaside, stone skimming. I mean, we've all skimmed stones at the seaside. Mm. And as you know, the best stone to skim are round, flat stones.
Mm.
Not true. No, not according to Dr. Ryan Palmer of the University of Bristol, who, as part of his research into the way that ice forms on the wings of planes, has also looked at the best stones to skim. I'm not entirely sure why the people who paid for his research into ice on planes agreed to pay for this.
Perhaps they went to find him in his office and he wasn't there. He was off skimming stones and he now claims it's part of some important research. Yes.
Anyway, it turns out that while flat stones are very good for making several short skips, larger rocks make bigger leaps. So actually, if you are good at stone skimming and you want to go further, then you actually want big rocks rather than little flat ones.
I see.
Is that useful?
I don't know. It's been a while since I've done it. But I, in my experience, if you pick up a large rock, it won't skim at all.
No, maybe you're not putting enough force behind it. Maybe you're not spinning it correctly. I mean, there is more to stone skimming than just throwing a stone in the sea.
Oh, yeah, but you've got to add the rotation. But
yes.
But that's harder with a large rock.
Well, there's plenty more stones on the beach, as they say.
Well, yes, not near where Dr. Ryan Palmer lives, I imagine.
No, possibly not. Up in the sky for our final item of the week. And this is to do with the comet C/2022 E3, which you probably haven't heard of. It's not a very snappy name for a comet.
No. But it was Halley's. Halley's a good name.
Halley's a good name. Yes.
Steve, well, this is 2022 E3 doesn't quite trip off the tongue.
This was discovered in 2022, which is why the 2022 is in the name, by the Zwicky-Transient facility in California. And I think the Zwicky-Transient facility is such a good name for an organization. They could make anything with a name like that, really,
yes,
couldn't they?
Yes.
Anything that's transient. Anyway, the curious thing about this comet is it's green, which is quite unusual, I think, for a comet.
Well, they should have named it Kermit.
They should have called it Kermit.
Of course they should. They've got no idea, these scientists.
No, they just don't do their marketing right, do they? Anyway, if you want to see it, it'll be the best time to see it is Wednesday and Thursday of next week, assuming it's a clear night, and you may see it streaking through the sky. If you miss it, you're going to have to wait 50,000 years for it to come around again. That's how long it takes to orbit the sun.
I can't be asked to wait that long, frankly.
Well, this comet was last seen by Neanderthals.
Oh, that's extraordinary. And would it seem green in the sky, or presumably too far away for us to notice it's green?
I think, yes, I think it will actually seem green in the sky.
Well, there we are.
It's quite
exciting. If people listen to this
isn't it?
Quickly enough, they've still actually got time to act upon that. Steve, thank you very much indeed. That's it for Gadgets, Gizmos and Comets that aren't called Kermit for this week. We'll be back with more Gadgets and Gizmos, though, the same time next week.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.